Impeachment report as new hearing opens.
Much of the messaging here is that this was an abuse of power.
Events overshadow NATO meetings.
This is a total fix.
Fighting over the mammogram bill.
It's really creating a significant barrier to care.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. The House Judiciary Committee now takes the helm of the impeachment inquiry, holding a hearing today armed with the findings in a new Democratic report alleging serious misconduct by President Trump over efforts that sought foreign intervention in the American election process.
This is about whether the American people have a right to expect that the President of the United States is going to act in their interests.
Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff's conclusions rejected by House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy.
Adam had made his mind up long before. He just didn't have the proof, so he had to write his own story.
The report details phone records that show contact between Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani, an indicted associate, and top Intelligence Committee Republican Devin Nunes when the push was on for Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. Here's CBS's Nancy Cordes.
The report describes a months-long campaign where senior U.S. officials, including Vice President Mike Pence, were either knowledgeable of or active participants in an effort to extract personal political benefits sought by the president. Today, four legal experts will give their view. CBS News legal analyst Jonathan Turley is the only witness selected by Republicans. He's expected to tell lawmakers in his opening statement that it is possible that a case for impeachment could be made, but it cannot be made on this record.
This thing is too narrow. It doesn't have a broad foundation, and it's an undeveloped record.
Back in 1998, at a similar hearing, Turley argued that the allegations against President Clinton went to the very heart of the legitimacy of his office and did merit impeachment by the House.
I'm Stephen Portnoy in London, where President Trump says he won't be watching the hearing.
I'm not going to watch, but I'm going to be doing this. It's much more exciting.
Mr. Trump held forth in front of cameras for more than 2 hours yesterday, engaging in awkward exchanges with his French and Canadian counterparts. He blasted Emmanuel Macron for saying NATO is brain dead in the era of Trump.
It's very disrespectful.
In their tense tete-a-tete, Mr. Trump brought up France's unwillingness to accept captured militants.
Would you like some nice ISIS fighters?
Macron didn't find it funny.
Let's be serious.
The French leader insisted the fight against ISIS isn't finished.
That was one of the greatest non-answers I've ever heard, and that's okay.
The president gently chided Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau for not meeting NATO's defense spending goal.
They're not slightly delinquent, I'd say, Canada, but they'll be okay.
Later, Trudeau and Macron appeared to get a laugh in at the president's expense. Cameras caught them gossiping about their time with Mr. Trump at a reception at Buckingham Palace. Trudeau was heard to complain about the length of time Mr. Trump spent answering reporters' questions.
Well, President Trump tweeted, "We will miss you," when Senator Kamala Harris announced she was ending her Democratic presidential bid. She tweeted, "I'll see you at your trial." CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Aides cited several factors for her exit. First, she likely soon will have to be a juror in a weeks-long Senate impeachment trial, a responsibility that would keep her off the campaign trail. Another factor she hinted at, Mike Bloomberg.
I'm not a billionaire. I can't fund my own campaign.
But Bloomberg can. And just 10 days into his race, he's already spent more than $52 million, more than double what Harris has raised all year.
North Korea's foreign ministry says it's up to the U.S. to choose what kind of Christmas gift it gets from the country. Experts say that could mean North Korea is ready to lift a moratorium on long-range missile and nuclear tests. Reporter Alex Jensen in Seoul says the message was delivered with a heavy dose of symbolism.
For the second time in less than 2 months, North Korean Chairman Kim Jong-un's been shown riding a white horse up Mount Paektu, a site of great symbolic significance to the North, and this time he called for the country to adopt the offensive spirit of Paektu, particularly against imperialists and class enemies.
Pope Francis today accepted the resignation of Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone. Malone's been criticized for how he's handled allegations of clergy sex abuse crimes. Mammograms can help save lives, but in some cases, insurance companies are refusing to cover them. CBS's Anna Werner has heard from hundreds of women who've encountered surprise bills.
Roseanne Neal fought breast cancer and won. She's been fighting her insurance company and losing.
I felt that I was being penalized for having breast cancer.
She's had annual diagnostic mammograms paid for by her insurance. Then last year, she switched jobs.
Got a bill for over $900.
Her insurance company, Aetna, had refused to pay.
They said, no, that we don't cover diagnostic mammograms. I said, but I had breast cancer.
The Affordable Care Act requires insurance companies to pay for regular screening mammograms for women with no out-of-pocket costs. But because she's a breast cancer survivor, Neal says her doctor told her she needed what's called a diagnostic mammogram.
There was no argument. It was, this is the way it is.
After CBS News contacted Aetna to ask about her case, it reversed course, saying, we mistakenly did not apply the appropriate policy when Ms. Neal appealed. We apologize for this mistake.
40 years ago yesterday, 11 people were killed in the crush to get into a Cincinnati arena to watch the rock band The Who.
We was up at the top and everybody was just pushing. I was on the bottom for about 20 minutes because I couldn't breathe.
Last night, the band announced it will play its first date in that area since that awful night. It'll be next April 23rd, lead singer Roger Daltrey.
No, you don't feel guilty. But equally, you do think, well, if we hadn't been playing a show in Cincinnati that night, 11 people would still be alive.
For 86-year-old music legend Willie Nelson,
on the road again.
The road has been rocky recently. He's had to cancel concerts this year because of health issues. He now reveals he has stopped smoking marijuana, something he's done a lot since the mid-1950s.
I have abused my lungs quite a bit in the past, so breathing is a little more difficult these days.
He tells KSAT in San Antonio he's taking better care of himself. Nelson has long been a pot proponent. It seems a workout equipment company needs some work on its ad campaign.
Many online are calling it cringeworthy.
A Peloton? Give it up for our first time!
The high-end fitness equipment manufacturer Peloton seemingly failed to walk the relatable and aspirational advertising tone in its ad that shows a woman excited and surprised that her husband got her the bike for Christmas. But the woman in the ad was skinny before she even started cycling, with viewers criticizing it for peddling negative body images and unhealthy marital dynamics that a husband is looking to make his wife more skinny. Investors, none too happy either. Peloton shares tumbled 9%. Tuesday amid the criticism, the bike retails for more than $2,200. Matt Piper, CBS News.
The two men who founded Google in a Silicon Valley garage two decades ago, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, say they're leaving executive posts in Google's parent company. Successor Sundar Pichai has been groomed to take over for years. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.